Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends, today we come to celebrate Christ the King. We come to worship this King, but we have a problem. And that is that the King we come to worship says, "My kingdom is not from here." But we are here. So what shall we do? And so it begs two questions. One is this king's kingdom universal? That is it good for everybody? Is it good for my friends? Is it good for my family? Is it good for my needs? And the second question is, if it is universal, if it's good for everybody, how can I answer this king? What must I do for this king? Well, for those of us who are a little bit older, there's a movie that I like, First Night, Richard Gere, Julia Ormond, Sean Connery. Beginning of the 90s, Brenner, you weren't even born yet. And so there is, in Camelot, King Arthur is sitting around the table with his knights, and suddenly Maleagant, the tyrant king, or if he wasn't a king, he was the tyrant, comes in, all the knights get up, they embrace their sword, and King Arthur says, "At ease, gentlemen, I invited him." And they start dialoguing, arguing about which kingdom is just. And Maleagant tells King Arthur, "Well, but those laws are just your laws, the laws of Camelot." And King Arthur, Sean Connery, says, "If what is good and true for Camelot is not good and true under God for all the peoples and tribes of the world, then we're just one more tyrant nation." What was he trying to say? That this kingdom was the true one. That this kingdom will have no end, and that it is good for all. It was basically saying that what we proclaim, who we worship, is the one God, maker of heaven and earth, and that his kingdom will have no end. How does that impact us? As the center of his kingdom, we know we are the beloved sons and daughters of that king, and we are at the heart of all of his actions. And he wants to tell me, and you, everything you do in life, everything that you strive for, if it's according to my kingdom, gives you a purpose. It makes your life worth it, and it gives sense to everything. And so a first conclusion, a first consequence of this is love your life because it comes from him, and serve your neighbor. So if that kingdom is the true one, how must we serve this king? Well, the first thing is that, how do we respond to this king? The first thing is that this king tells us, you guys all have a dual citizenship. In Philippians 3:20, St. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. To be men and women who have the feet on the ground and the heart in heaven. Jesus trusts that when we make Christ our King, that we will bring his love to every heart out there. In May, there was an international conference of Regnum Christi in Rome. And one of the things that was said there is that Christians, in a special way, Regnum Christi members, we are called to have and see the world with the eyes and the heart of Christ, which poses a challenge because we look around and we see so much mess, so many ideologies, so much sin, so much stress and anxiety, and it can become a way of just coming together and becoming a little bit of a Sanhedrin, the club of the perfect ones, the highly sophisticated club. But you know what? Deep inside, we know that we are the club of the sinners. We are the field hospital. We, as the Holy Father would say, we want to pick up the wounded and heal their wounds. We are called to be ambassadors of that love. Let me read you something. Jesus can be proclaimed only by inhabiting the culture of one's own time. Apostolic zeal is never a mere repetition of an acquired style, but a witness that the gospel is alive here for us today. Aware of this, we therefore look to our time and our culture as a gift. Wow. We see it as a gift. These are ours, and evangelizing does not mean judging them from afar, nor does it mean being on a balcony shouting the name of Jesus, but going down to the street, going to the places where we live, frequenting the spaces where we suffer, work, study, and reflect, standing at the crossroads where human beings share what has meaning for their lives. It means being, as a church, leaven of dialogue, of encounter, and of unity. When people used to go to talk to the cure of ours, St. John Maria Vianney, they would say, I went to talk to a man, and it seemed that I talked to God. Imagine that people could say about us, I went to talk to this woman, to this guy, to this man, and it seemed as if I had talked with God. So that is the answer to God, to be ambassadors of his love to the world. Lisa Rooney yesterday sent me a little WhatsApp message saying, Father, I read up on Padre Pro, a Jesuit, who gave his life in Mexico because he was persecuted. Well, I want to tell you today about another person, a young man, 14-year-old, Jose Sanchez del Rio. Oh, wait, that was Spanish. Let me say, Jose Sanchez del Rio. So you can understand. He was only 14 years old. Titi, where are you? He was younger than you. Jaime, where are you? He was younger than you. He was younger than most of us. What happened? Well, there was the Cristero War, the first half of the 20th century. He, by the way, is a patron saint of ECYD. We have some ECYD members here. Well, he wanted to be part of the Cristeros because he wanted to defend the rights of Christ in Mexico. For those of you who haven't read about it or seen the movie, priests were hung from light posts in the railroad tracks. They were persecuting the church. You could not have masses. And he was eager to get out there, but the Cristeros told him, you're too young. You can't come to be part of it. So one moment he's seen, you know, kind of part of a battle, and one of the Cristeros loses his horse. He comes out with his horse, gives him his horse, and he's horseless there in the middle of a field. So the Federals pick him up, and they start torturing him. And they told him, just say, die Christ the King. And he said, no. And he would repeat over and over again, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, and Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So they decided to cut off the soles of his feet. And they made him walk all the way from the prison to the cemetery on his bare feet. When they got there, his tomb was there. And they just said, look, boy, just give it up. Say, die, Christ the King. And he said, viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. And the gunshots went off, and he died. And he was canonized, I believe, by Pope John Paul II. How can we be ambassadors of this King's love? Three things. Number one, that we would promise him that at least in our intention, probably not in reality because we said we were all sinners, but that we would strive and never voluntarily sin, not one single sin for this King. At least as an intention. Second, that we would always strive to live lives where we try to please this King, that we'd always ask ourselves, what would this King want me to do? And finally, that we would be willing, if it ever came to that, to give our lives for that King. Because just like he testified, the King and heaven is much more important. Our faith is more than death. So as we continue to celebrate this Mass, brothers and sisters, let us ask Our Lady, our best intercessor, give us the strength to be able to live according to this King. That's what's in the deepest levels of our hearts. Only by being faithful to this King will we be truly happy, at peace, and gain eternal life. Amen.